grateful. We thank you, Lord God, for Jesus Christ. We thank you for this Easter Sunday morning where we could gather again in our church. God, we thank you that we could open the doors of the church and come together to worship you. Speak now, Lord God, speak joyous truths to our hearts. Speak, Lord God, for we are listening. And take hold of me, the preacher, Lord God, and put me at the foot of the open grave, Lord God. And remind me again that the tomb is empty. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow, we can face tomorrow. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And friends, you know, today is a happy day. I hope you're happy. I know I can't see your smiling faces because we're wearing masks, aren't we? But it's a happy day. It is a good day. It's an excellent day. It's an awesome day. Amen? We have had 40 days of reflecting and thinking and praying and seeking and wringing our hands. And Lord knows what we have done. And friends, it has been a hard year. Amen? Last year, we only had our team here. And if you're sitting here or you're listening to me online, that means you're alive. And do you know, friends, we have something to rejoice for today. We have something to rejoice for every day, but certainly today, because we know that we are alive. Many who started out with us last year in this nation and in the world, they are not here today. But here we are. Amen? And it's not because we have been so good, and maybe we have, or because we are so good looking, but it's because of the grace of God Almighty that has given us the opportunity to live and move and have our being in him. And so we want to start with a high note and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you've done. And certainly we want to rejoice in knowing him. And so I know there are two slides. The first slide just shows, I'll tell you when, yes, you could switch to the second slide back and forth, Susan. My sermon title today is, Because He Lives, We Are Secure. Because He Lives, that is my sermon title, We Are Secure. And I want to start with two reflections from children. How did I know children are going to be here? The Holy Spirit told me. And so, here's this one is titled, He's Dead Now, But He'll Be Back. And the writer says, I loved our Easter pageant. One night, I sat with a 5-year-old boy who was enthralled. When the crucifixion scene took place, he got real quiet. He got real quiet. Amen. But then Jesus came back from the grave, and there was a song of celebrations, and his eyes lit up. He looked at his mother and said, he's alive, Mom. He's alive. And he began to clap. And he hugged her around the neck. It was fun to see somebody understand the resurrection for the first time. I told that to a youth minister from another church, and he said, I want to tell you what happened in our church. We showed a cartoon video of the crucifixion and the resurrection to our kindergarten students. When Jesus was buried, one little boy who knew the story pretty well turned to a buddy and said, he's dead now, but he'll be back. He's dead now, but he'll be back, from a child's point of view. And now the other reflection is hope after the crucifixion. Good Friday service in Dampara Baptist Church in Bangladesh was packed. Little children sat on the floor of the aisles and across the front of the church. Rows of people stood in the back. craning their necks to see the crucifixion scene as depicted in the film, Jesus film. And weeping and gasp of unbelief could be heard in shocked hush as Jesus was crucified. Jesus' pain and the disappointment of the disciples. In that emotional moment, one young boy in the crowded church suddenly cried out, "Don't be afraid. He gets up again. I saw it before."
Praise
a small boy's encouraging cry gave new hope to the viewers of the film. "He is risen" is the cry that gives new hope to all. Amen?
Amen.
He is risen. Don't be afraid. I've seen it before. Amen? The resurrection is not only the good news, it is the best news imaginable. John tells us, as you will see from the slide with the woman, John tells us, early on the first day of the week, it was early, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. Then the disciples, what happened? She saw it, she looked in, and she realized it was empty, and she went to get the men. She went to get Peter and the rest of the disciples who had been hiding. And they ran and they came to the tomb, the Gospel of John says. As I said to the children's story, some story will tell us from Matthew's point of view, there was Mary and his mother, but John speaks of Mary Magdalene, okay? This woman who I will just touch on for a little while. And then after she told the men, they came. And they looked in the tomb, they looked, and they saw it empty, and it says in the scripture, Peter noticed that the cloth that had used to wrap his head was folded up and laid aside. And then the disciples left. The Bible says in verse 10 of 20, the disciples returned to their homes. Ah, but not Mary. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. Mary, as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw the two angels in white sitting there. The body of Jesus had been laying, where the body of Jesus had been laying, one at the head and the other at the feet. Mary could not leave. And why couldn't Mary leave? Why did she have to stay? You see, Mary had a story. Mary understood. For Mary, meeting Jesus had transformed her life. Mary Magdalene was a woman who, according to the four Gospels, traveled with Jesus as one of his followers and was a witness to his crucifixion and the aftermath. She's mentioned by name 12 times in the Gospels, more than most of the apostles, and more than any other woman in the Gospels other than Jesus' family, Mary Magdalene. Did you know that? The Gospel of Luke 8:2-3 lists Mary Magdalene as one of the women who traveled with Jesus and helped support his ministry. Out of their resources indicated that she was probably relatively wealthy. The same passage also states that 7 demons had been driven out of her, a statement which is repeated in John 16. So therefore, Mary had been under demonic control. Mary had had a hard life. Mary had had terrible things in her past. Demonic control meaning mental issues, mental problems, and Jesus had transformed her life. Changed her, saved her. So that's why she could not leave the tomb, friends. She could not leave it. She could not because, guess what? Because she knew what Jesus had done for her. Jesus had transformed her life. All four Gospels identify her either alone or as a member of a larger group of women who was at Jesus' resurrection. And so Mary went to the tomb and she stayed there. She couldn't leave because the one who had saved her life was now missing. She had gone to probably embalm his body, to put myrrh and perfume on his body. Like us who believe in Jesus Christ, Mary Magdalene's life had been transformed by Jesus. Amen. And so she showed up. And she showed up at the tomb. And as she showed up the tomb, she was there waiting. And the gardener began to speak with her. The angels were there. And then something miraculous happened. That happens to us, friends, when we encounter Jesus. In the middle of our trials and tribulations, when we call out to him, he will answer. Mary was there waiting, and he knew that Mary needed to hear from him. And so the scripture tells us that she heard. Jesus said to her, Mary. Has Jesus ever called your name? Mary, you feel it in your spirit as you pray. Mary. And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni. Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. Amen. And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that what he had said. And she told them the things he had said. Amen. And I would like to put a modern context on this, a modern twist, that in essence, Mary realized that because he lives, she can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because she knew that he holds the future and life is worth living just because he lives. That morning, Mary realized that no matter what was going to face her, she knew that Jesus lived. And because he lived, she could face tomorrow. She could face the next day. That is the message for us today. Because Jesus lives, we too can face tomorrow. The story tells us God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to pay my portion and your portion. An empty grave is there to prove that our Savior lives. And because he lives, friends, yes, you and me can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And because we know that he holds the future, then life is worth the living just because he lives. And it's not done yet, friends. And then one day, the song says, I'll cross the river and I'll fight life's final war with pain. That is the hope for every believer this morning. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know that my Savior reigns. Because he lives this morning, we can face tomorrow. If he had still been in the grave, we wouldn't have a song to sing. We wouldn't have a life to live. Because he lives. Because he lives. What does that mean for you and me now? I want to give you 5 points. Because he lives, we have the privilege to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Because he lives. And we then will experience the joy of his presence every day. Because he lives. Number two, we do not have to live life with loneliness of heart. We do not have to live with a loneliness of heart. We have the absolute assurance that Jesus Christ is alive and living within us just as he promised. Amen? We, no matter what we're going through, there are folks who are facing operations and there are folks who have been diagnosed right now. And I want to say to that person today under the sound of my voice, because he lives... You will not be alone when you have to go through that moment. He will be with you. You do not have to face the loneliness of heart because Jesus promises to be with you. And the third point, because he lives, we can pray to him with confidence. Scripture tells us after the resurrection, Jesus ascended to the Father's right hand, where he intercedes for you and for me. Amen. When we cannot pray, when we don't know how to pray, when we're too weak to pray, because he lives, he prays for you and me. Amen. There are times all we have to do is call on the name of Jesus. There are times all we can do is say, Jesus, Jesus, help me. And because he lives, because we serve a risen Savior, he will hear. And the fourth point, because he lives, we have peace in the midst of most difficult times. We have that peace that surpasses all understanding. The peace that Jesus tells us, as we will say later, my peace I leave you. Not as the world leaves you, but I give you that peace that surpasses all understanding. And because he lives, the fifth point, we can face death courageously and confidently. Do we want to die? No. But we know we will. But because he lives, we have the hope of eternal life with him. Jesus is alive and is the source of our eternal life. If Jesus is our Savior, we will enter immediately into his holy presence. Because Jesus lives, we never truly die, but we will live forever with him. Because he lives. And therefore, friends, we could rejoice like the psalmist says. The psalmist says, protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good part from you. And then the psalmist tells us at the end, he says, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Because the Lord is at your right hand, you shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Therefore, friends, therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoice. My body also rests secure, for you do not give me up to death or let your faithful ones see the pit. You show me the path of life. And in your presence, in the presence of the Lord, there is a fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen. In the right hand of God, there are pleasures forevermore. So friends, and there's some young people here, when someone asks you, are you a Christian? Someone asks you, why are you rejoicing on today? All you have to say to them is, because Jesus lives.
Amen.
That's the sentence, because Jesus lives. We don't even have to give them anything more, because he lives. We have the hope. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, we can get up and go forward. Because he lives, that's why we're here today, and our church is open for us to come in, because he lives. Who would have thought a year ago? Because he lives. Because our Savior is alive. He's alive. He's alive. He got up from the grave. Up from the grave he arose, the songwriter says. Ah, up from the grave he arose. Ah, mighty, mighty is our God. He got up when they thought they could keep him down. He got up, and because he got up this morning, because he got up early on one Sunday morning over 2,000 years ago, because he got up from the grave, we can rejoice in knowing him. Thank you, Jesus. He got up and he stepped out of the grave. Stepped out because he knew that he had to live so that you and I could have life. Life abundantly and life eternal. Amen. And so we thank him this morning. We thank Jesus. And now let us remember, he tells us that he's going to be with us always, even to the end of the ages. that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, that we could call on him and he'll answer, and that when we need him, he's there. When mother and father forsake us, when children forsake us, when loved ones forsake us, Jesus will never forsake his beloved, because he loved us so much that he died for you and me. And so we thank God that Jesus lives, that he lives, and that he lives. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen.
Let's give him a praise offering, yes, friends, because he's alive. Thanks be to God. We thank God that our Savior is alive. Oh, what a blessing that is. We do not serve brick and mortar. We do not serve stone gods. We serve the risen Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord God, this morning. Thank you for the resurrection, Jesus. Thank you for saving me, Lord Jesus. Thank you for coming and saving me, Jesus. Thank you for coming and saving us, Jesus Christ, this morning. Thank you for your sacrifice, Jesus. Thank you that you were wounded for my transgressions, that you were bruised for our iniquities, that the chastisement of our peace was upon you, and by your stripes we are all healed. Thank you, Jesus, this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I bless your name, Jesus. I bless your name, Holy God, this morning. Thank you, God Almighty. Thank you that you're risen today and you're in the world today. Amen. Thank you, God. There's not enough words to praise you. And our friends, as we take a moment to think of the risen Savior in our own lives, let us just take a moment. Just a silent moment to think of him. And what he has done for you and for me, for all of us. Yes, Lord. Amen.